Hey friends, welcome back to A Homemaker's Manifesto. My name is Issa, and I have gotten off kilter with my posting schedule this week. The last couple weeks, actually, I kind of took an unintentional hiatus that I really needed. The truth is that when you are a writer, you're really fascinated by ideas and philosophy and writing about the things you are most passionate about. Sometimes, you know, you need to to slow down and not think. When you are like me and you're an overthinker, sometimes it's really good to just spend time being quiet, and that, unfortunately, as a writer, that can mean not really being super driven to write, because you are spending time in reflection, in prayer, in meditation, time in the Word. I was at a place, I was actually having just kind of some personal stuff going on, and God really pulled me through in an amazing way. It is so incredible how you can feel like you're kind of at the end of your rope, and then turns out you're going through a fire that was really, really revealing a lot of the gold that God refines in us through our trials. So I'm coming back with, I've got a full-length post up for premium subscribers. I'm just going to share a little bit with you. If you are a premium subscriber, go ahead and check that out, because I actually came back, coming back today with 7 principles for embracing femininity. The title of this post and podcast is Classical Christian Femininity in a Post-Truth World, which has really, speaking of refining, has really become the core manifesto here. You know, this is a homemaker's manifesto, and I think that the truth is, you know, I started out wanting to basically talk about why women are going back to homemaking. I knew I had a lot more to say than kind of maybe like the surface level arguments we might make. And it has really turned into a journey into what it means to be a woman in the Christian worldview. As you know, my podcasts are very raw and organic, so I can hear my kids coming up the stairs. They've been doing their chores. They're probably going to come inside in a second, so don't mind the noise. But, you know, I did want to do a podcast version of this post because I know you guys can't always listen. So I'm just going to share with you what I wrote. If you are a premium subscriber, you can go over to the website and read the 7 principles of classical femininity, Christian, Christ-centered, renewed in Him femininity. And I wanted to share that with my premium subscribers. If you would like to be a premium subscriber, I would be so grateful to have you. Premium subscribers make all of this possible. I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing if it weren't for the support of my premium subscribers. It is just $5 a month or $50 a year. You get access to our book club, stuff like this. I'm going to be, I think, sharing a lot more of these kind of resources. You can, once I get back to doing our Tuesday newsletters, I have a column called Dear Help Me, where you can submit anonymous questions and I will answer them in the newsletter and podcast, completely anonymous, even to me. So yeah, go ahead and subscribe, you know, update your subscription if you would like to become a premium subscriber. So here we go. Earlier this week, someone asked me on Instagram if I had an actual homemaker's manifesto. This is a good question, of course, and the simple answer was that this Substack publication is itself the manifesto. However, this is about so much more than homemaking, at least in the sense that we think of homemaking as housework, childcare, and cooking. First of all, the fact that these tasks have come to be seen as menial and even degrading to women is itself a deeply ideological and spiritual attack on femininity. And so what began for me as a desire to simply communicate why many women feel such a draw to return to what we consider to be more traditional roles for women has turned into a much deeper exploration of the very nature of womanhood in the Christian worldview. The reason homemaking matters is because wives and mothers matter, and wives and mothers matter because women matter, and women matter because human beings matter. The two most important things we know about humanity is that we were made male and female, and made in God's image. In an era when this chief characteristic of the human species, binary sex, has been politicized by ideological tyrants, it is more important than ever to highlight this fundamental truth about creation. You've heard the expression, a woman makes a house a home. We tend to think of this expression as simply meaning that women decorate, tidy, and bring atmosphere and personality to a dwelling. I believe it has a much bigger application, however. Long before I came to the Lord, I aspired to do nonprofit work in many of the nations that have been ravaged by the conflict between first world nation building and tyrannical Marxist ideology. I remember when it struck me that it was women, in particular, that formed communities. It's hard to think of a group of men as a community. An army, a team, a work crew, a band of criminals, a force to be reckoned with. Groups of men can be many things, but they simply aren't communities. They aren't families. Men deeply desire and need women. This is not a mere whimsical fancy of mine. It's rock-solid, fundamental biblical truth. It was not good for Adam to dwell alone. We may affectionately call our canine companions a man's best friend, yet at the inception of man's existence, a suitable companion for Adam could not be found among the beasts of the field. Only woman could serve this purpose, and for this she was created from Adam, her source, her husband, the head of her body, the purpose of her existence, and, as we would later see in the man of Jesus Christ, her devoted Lord, covering, and king. This little publication of mine previously professed to explore womanhood, worldview, and classical Christian femininity beyond trad. And the reason for this is that the trad movement, while something I fully support in many ways, is a woefully surface-level look at the far deeper truth we all seek to connect with when we respond to our instinctive desire to pursue harmony in marriages, families, homes, and communities. It is not mere tradition that matters. It's not even biology. It's creation. What we were made for, union with God in Christ and one another. When we begin this journey on the wrong foot by seeking to change our behavior and living arrangements without fundamentally realigning our thoughts and understanding of who we are with God's eternally higher perspective, this is when we see things often go so very wrong. In a way, I feel like I am relaunching my exploration into Christ-centered femininity with a fresh perspective that I have, all the same, had from the beginning. The moment I realized the value of homemaking was the moment God began to draw me into the woman I was to become in Christ. And I keep returning to homemaking, the sacred, mysterious, timeless art of turning houses into homes and people into communities, as the heartbeat of His work in my life. So, I wanted to share with you all 7 points of classical Christian femininity that I hope to use in the future to help women reconnect to their design and grow and thrive in their marriages, homes, and lives. We can use these points as kind of a jumping off point for how you can truly begin to change your life. These are points that I am personally sort of reconfiguring, realigning my thoughts and thought patterns with. They come from years of research and meditation in the scriptures and just fundamental truth that we observe from society. You can read a much greater elaboration on these 7 points, like I said, over at the website. And I hope, you know, pray for me as I'm working on this. I'd like to publish first a resource, sort of study guide workbook to help women work through this, as well as a greater, you know, homemaker's manifesto, exploring classical Christian femininity in a post-truth world. So these 7 points, though, which, like I said, sort of a little mission statement for myself, for all of you, how we can restore femininity in our lives, in starting on the right foot, the right structure to build this journey upon. Excuse the very many mixed metaphors, but these 7 points are surrender, submission, polarity, reverence, receptivity, generosity, and radiance. So what do I mean by that? Go ahead and, you know, if you're a premium subscriber, you can read more about that. If you just don't want to upgrade, totally understand. Keep an eye out for more on this in the future. Definitely reach out to me if you have any questions or comments or anything at all. I always love to hear from you all, as I am always saying. And finally, in closing, I just wanted to mention real quick, you may or may not have heard me talk about the James Method, which is my favorite resource for Bible study journals. It is so much more than just journaling, though. I saw the James Method had a post this week about, you know, it is not just about the journals, it is about using the journals. They're sort of what they're best known for is the verse mapping journal, which is a really, really wonderful way to dive deep into the word, breaking down verses, looking up their original Greek meaning, cross references. It is a wonderful exercise in Bible study, scripture meditation, prayer, personal reflection. I really, really love the verse journals. I have gotten so much, well, I just have the one verse journal, but I've gotten so much out of these verse mapping journals. And I also recently just purchased the scripture memory journal. And I'm a big fan, I don't know if you've ever heard me talk about, I'm a big fan of scripture meditation. What do I mean by that? Literally exactly what it sounds like. Scripture meditation. Meditation is not, you know, primarily an Eastern pagan practice. Meditation is solidly biblical, and meditating on the Word of God. Christians do not work on completely emptying their minds like a Buddhist might. Christians meditate on the Word of God. And the reason I am such an emphatic fan of scripture meditation, I mean, first of all, like, why wouldn't it be a good thing to meditate on God's Word? But for me, scripture meditation really triggered a huge kind of spiritual awakening in my own life when I began to really meditate on the words of scripture. You may have heard me talk about how, you know, for me, for many years, my faith was in large part, you know, God really worked in my life and spoke to me, and it's not like I didn't have faith, but I really approached Christianity as an ideology and an identity. Taking time to really slow down and meditate on the fact that, you know, God created everything. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his thoughts above our thoughts. Meditating on the Psalms, really slowing down, chewing on every word and what they mean, it really, really takes you into just whole new dimensions of relationship with the Lord, because he is the Word. You know, the Bible is Christ. It is the full revelation of who he was and who God, the nature of God, and who Christ is in that, in creation. And just the more I read and meditate on the Word, that, like, the more I realize how bottomless are the depths of this wisdom. So getting back to the James Method, the scripture memory journal, it is meant to be an aid for scripture memorization. And the great thing about scripture meditation is you tend to memorize the verses that you meditate on. So I just wanted to recommend for you guys, if you do want to get into, start practicing scripture meditation, I think that because this is how I've been using the scripture memorization, I gotta keep track of what I'm saying here, the scripture memorization journals would be a great way to do that, because you write down your memory verse every day, covering up the last verses, and I think it would be a wonderful practice in both memorizing and meditating on you know, a different verse every week, hiding away the word in your heart. As always, you can save 10% with my link, ISA10, or that's my code, ISA10. I will include a link in the show notes if you want to check that out. And the first step in my own, you know, sort of personal 7 points towards classical Christian femininity, the first point is surrender. Just fully giving your mind over to the Lord. You cannot do anything else without doing this. It doesn't matter what you do in life. In fact, it's not about doing, it's about surrendering. It starts with surrender. Everything we talk about, should women do that? This, should women do that? What's appropriate? What should I dress like? How should I act? How should I treat my husband? All these questions are so earthly. so earthly minded when we are not being informed by a mind that has fully surrendered to the Lord and accepted the Holy Spirit. This is a constant process, of course. I really wanted to write down these 7 points for myself as much as anybody else, because we all have our, you know, sort of wildernesses and valleys that we walk through. And, you know, my pastor said something a couple weeks ago that I thought was so great about, you know, in scripture, many of the great figures in the Bible remind God of his promises, but we don't remind God of his promises for him. He doesn't need to be reminded. It's like rehearsing them. The way he put it was, we are rehearsing these verses for ourselves, to remind ourselves what is fundamental truth. We are not, as the world would have you believe, deciding to believe in God. This is my truth. No, it is the truth. It is fundamental, unshakable. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not, it will always be the truth, capital T, truth. And scripture meditation is a really, really wonderful way to just surrender to this awesome, awesome, awesome reality that is God's sovereignty and the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the huge epiphany that I had, I mean, it's like all of this, it's like I know it, I've said it a million times, we need to rehearse it, we need to remind ourselves constantly, is that when we give up, when we let go of going our own way, doing it ourselves, that is when we realize that it was the going our own way that was the only thing that was holding us back. So I hope you will glory in that truth with me today. Meditate on these truths, you know, search scriptures. It is a treasure trove of wisdom that you can meditate on. Yeah, okay, I think that is a great stopping point, because I really could go on, you all know me. Thank you for being here. If you're new, I would love to have you as a subscriber. You can subscribe completely for free to the podcast, to my Substack page. Follow me on Instagram if you don't already, at A Homemaker's Manifesto. Those are really the only two places you can find me, Substack and Instagram. But if you are new, please do say hello, because I love connecting with you guys. So I hope you have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.